In Chicago, two comedian skeptics named Andy and Art were mysteriously abducted by the illusionary mastermind and conspiracy theorist known only as Mr. Bunker. The following serves as a record of Bunker's attempt to convince non-believers of the truth about conspiracies and paranormal activity. Andy and Art give an uninterrupted presentation and verdict on the plausibility of these offbeat topics, delivering what they call the whole enchilada. Will Mr. Bunker convince these two skeptics any of this is real? Will it convince you?
Welcome to Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast. As always, I'm your co-host, Art Stone. And with me, as always, is your co-host, Andy Hart.
Heidi-ho, Bunkerinos! It's me, your next-door neighbor, and you've never seen my face. Having more marital problems? How can I help?
Do you need
me to satisfy your wife? Or your husband?
You are always watching, and you're always leaving your patented little Andy Mints on the pillows.
Andy Mints. They're not made of chocolate, and they're not mint.
Wink! Andy, I am so excited for today's topic, because we are going to be taking off to the stars.
Oh, my God. It's the one thing we've always dreamed of since we started doing anything, since we were little babies. We just wanted to be amongst the stars. And today, we're finally doing it.
Today's topic is great for you eggheads, you space freaks, you physics nuts.
I love it.
You conspiracy heads. I mean, this is a great conspiracy topic. This is a classic one.
This is a classic. This is a secret space program.
That's right.
A clandestine space operation known as Alternative 3.
That's right. And it's going to ferry all the world's elite to secret secret underground bases on Mars and the moon, and they're gonna leave, and it's gonna be like BioShock.
Yeah, and if you're not elite enough, you die. You're gonna die.
Well, and so we could think of no guest greater to talk about this cheery, lovely topic.
A bona fide space freak.
A bona fide space freak. An OG bunk funker.
Oh yeah.
And a purveyor of fine podcasts himself.
Undoubtedly.
The co-host of the Infinite Void podcast, and the sole host of Stranger Times.
Yes.
Please welcome to the show our good friend Jacob Carson.
What is up, guys? Hello.
Hey Jacob.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, it's nice to finally be here. I know we've been chatting for ages now, and I've been listening to this show since the beginning, so it's really cool to finally sit and talk to you guys and see the whole thing. So yeah. Thanks for having me.
We are absolutely very excited to have you on the show, because you know you have been listening since pretty much the very beginning.
Yeah. And we only had to pay you so little.
Yeah.
I mean, really under market rate.
You suffered so much brain damage over the years listening to us week in and week out.
We have to pay him to listen to the show so he doesn't like sue us.
But sincerely, we are very excited you're here. Thank you so much for coming on. This topic was suggested by you, even, wasn't it? Am I wrong?
Yeah. 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 It was, I think I've sent like a few over the last couple of years, but they've all kind of been either space related or like high strangeness. So yeah, these kind of things are really interesting to me, because obviously there's so much information out there for it and against it. So they always make like really good chats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jacob, obviously, you know, we want to let the bunk funkers get to know you a little bit. And, One of the things we always ask our guests is, where do you fall on the believer versus skeptic spectrum? And are you more of a Scully? Are you more of a Mulder? Are you more of a believer? Are you more of a skeptic? I mean, where are you? Where do you usually lean with these kind of topics?
So I really want to believe, and I'm totally down to like it for it to be real. But currently, I'm probably more of a skeptic, as I like to kind of see where the data goes and take it from there. But I do want to believe, and I'm totally open to hearing what people have to say, or if I saw something cool, I just don't know how
now, it's, to deal with that. Is it fair to say that you're like a smarter version of Andy? You want to actually look at the data.
Well, let's say smarter, more well-adjusted, better personality.
Probably cooler.
Better looking, cooler, more presentable, better hygiene. Are you me, but an actually functional human being?
I'd say maybe, but probably a little bit more of an introvert.
Oh, okay, wow.
That's if I were more of an introvert, people would probably be happier.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Jacob, burning question I wanted to ask, did the libertines walk so that the Arctic monkeys could run?
Well, that is a good question. I would probably say yes.
Wow.
Are you a fan of the Arctic Monkeys?
I am a huge Arctic Monkeys fan. I've seen them live multiple times, pushed all the way up to the front so that Alex Turner could spit on me.
Did you see them at Lollapalooza?
I did see them at Lollapalooza. Yeah, pushed all the way. I think that was after they released their third album, which is not my favorite Arctic Monkeys album, but their sophomore album is my favorite Worst Nightmare. It's my favorite Dream.
I think probably Humbug or my favorite. Favorite Worst Nightmare is pretty good as well.
Wow. Well, I got my biting UK music scene question out of the way, as I always ask every guest. But no, Jacob, you're obviously a UK resident. This is not we didn't bring on another actor much as ourselves who can do flawless UK accents much like Andy and I can. And so I guess the question is, you know, obviously the UK has had plenty of very exciting UFO sightings, UAP sightings. You're very on top of what's going on with the kind of the UAP phenomenon lately, and then what's happening in the zeitgeist, I guess you can say. Have you yourself ever seen anything strange? You ever seen anything up in those skies up there? Anything at all? Any kind of strange experiences?
So apparently I live near a hotspot in the United Kingdom, near Worcestershire, and it has been since the 90s. But I've not actually seen anything. I think there's a few ties to like nuclear testing facilities and stuff within the area. So I'm guessing that there might be some top secret stuff that gets seen. But personally, I've not actually ever seen something. As much as I'd want to, I'm very, very open to.
You really want to see something? Wow.
I do, yeah. I think it'd be mind blowing.
What's the national climate like around things like the paranormal in the UK versus, say, here in the United States where we are? Are people more open to things, less open to paranormal experiences?
I'd probably say people are less open. I think there's quite a lot of stigma in the UK. I'm not sure if it's just like everybody here is just grumpy because of the weather, but I find that even like when I'm talking to my family, I can spend hours talking to my American relatives about the idea of aliens and paranormal stuff and conspiracy theories. But I always find like my British relatives kind of shut off pretty quickly. Wow. And I'm not sure why. Maybe it's just the culture surrounding it, but there's a very much kind of like, oh, he's got his foil hat on, the little green men are coming out to play.
Jesus Christ.
In your family, are there any, you know, you yourself have not had any paranormal experiences, any family history? You know, is there like a tale told within your family about a, I don't know, maybe a ghost that haunted a house somebody lived in, or
it's true,
an abduction story by aliens?
You got an old country.
I'm not too sure, actually. I haven't ever been told anything, but like close family members have got a massive interest in it, and we have like discussed it to the ends of like what we think it is. And my dad's very much into it. He's like sets cameras up around in like places that he buys just to see if he sees anything and stuff like that. So I'd say that there's definitely an interest in our family. So maybe at some point someone started like messing with something, but who knows?
Very cool. Has your dad ever caught anything on camera that was otherworldly? And he's talking about the neighbor lady.
Okay.
He's caught a couple of like orbs and stuff, but nothing too crazy. Okay. I remember when, you know, like you've probably seen them. You get like an app, don't you? And you get like notifications when there's like movement or something on one of the cameras.
Right.
And he gave me a login to it. And obviously because of the time difference in America, I was like fast asleep in bed. And this thing started going off that there was like some quite big thing near the front door.
Oh.
So I was like, what could that be? So it like woke me up and I flicked my phone on it. You could just see this frog eye just staring into it. And like it set my dad off too. And he phoned me and he's like, Jake, I think there's someone at the door. The camera's saying that there's something massive, like in front of the camera. And it was just because this frog had walked so close to it. It made it look like it was an actual like being or something. Like
so what did your dad and the frog do together? Did your dad invite the frog in?
Well, who knows? That sounds a bit like a TV show, if I'm all honest with you.
Invasion of privacy. I get it. I know when to
calm
stop
down, Andy. Quit writing notes down on some kind of weird screenplay that you're writing about a British man and a frog who are best friends.
Dad and frog. Mr. Frog's dad adventure.
You've just got a thing for dads, haven't you? That's it.
It is.
We're a couple of daddies.
We are daddies, so.
That's it. You just want to know what's going on with the other daddies.
Yeah, we just need to find out about other daddies' frog-related activities.
Now, Jacob, you are a podcast pioneer. Let's list all the different... What's the term? Fucking like pots you have in the fire. What, is that what the term
irons
is?
In the fire?
Irons in the fire.
Irons in the fire.
Yeah, you put iron in a fire.
Well, you can tell Art is a blacksmith by trade.
I am. So Jacob, you have the Infinite Void podcast where you co-host with
Maddie.
Your co-host Maddie, and that's a lot more science, philosophy, and technology kind of a base show. Is that correct? Is it fair to say?
When we started that, it was actually going to be called The Future Freaks Me Out. And it was going to be all about the future. But we very quickly realized that actually we kind of enjoyed more talking about crazy things that you can't comprehend and that it lets everybody walking away feeling quite grim about everything.
Wow. Is that a Motion City soundtrack song?
It could be.
Okay.
The Future Freaks Me Out?
I was just wondering. Trying to talk about me.
I think it is actually, you know, now that you've said that.
Wow.
See? I know my music.
I guess so.
You great also band as well. Host Stranger Times.
Yep.
This is a relatively new venture that you've gone into that's hosted by you, and you go into a journey on complete high strangeness. You're like, let's go to the every end of the spectrum here and let's see what we can find.
Yeah, it was interesting one for me because I'd say that I've always been like massively interested in like high strangeness, UFOs, conspiracies and stuff like that. But I'd never really had like the guts or anything to kind of come out in public and like put myself to that because obviously there's stigma and stuff surrounding it. And when I first started making podcasts with like the Infinite Void and everything, and we were doing like science-based stuff, all I wanted to do was kind of talk about this kind of stuff. Cause like I listened to your podcast, like Hysteria 51 and all those kinds of people. And I just wanted to like start talking about that stuff, but I couldn't figure out a way. So I waited a little bit and I just thought, you know what, with everything that's happened in the last 2 years with the pandemic and everything, I might as well just go for it.
Might as well.
Go all in.
All in, baby. So out of these two shows, and I'm not forgetting any, am I? Because you have a lot of other ventures.
There are more.
There are more.
There's one called Manifesting Marvel, which is really new.
Oh, that's right.
That's just talking about the MCU. And then we do some other content over at the Infinite Void, which is all like news-based stuff.
Gotcha.
That's this week on planet Earth?
Yes.
You also have Spaced...
Yeah, yeah.
And then Telescoper.
Yeah. So, they're more so like a like promotional thing. So you follow those if you just want to stay up to date with either rocket launch.
Basically, you are the hub. You are the central location for any space freaks out there listening to follow these accounts and to follow Jacob and you will be in space heaven. But out of your high strangeness and science-based podcasts, what are your favorite episodes? Like, what are the ones where you're like, ah, please check these out. These are the top, the creme de la creme.
So for The Infinite Void, I would probably say it's either our Simulation Theory series. We did a three-parter, I think, or the AI series where we did five-parters, because I feel like Matty is the unsung hero of The Infinite Void because he's a physicist.
Wow.
And he just knows so much. And I kind of just come to him with topics and he goes away and does loads of research. And then we sit down and he just blows my mind for an hour. So I definitely suggest those ones. And then on Stranger Times, probably the episode with a guy called Engaging the Phenomena.
Okay.
Which you guys should get on your show if you're ever looking for guests. But basically does like contact stuff. And I don't know if you've heard of CE5, but it's all about initiating contact with aliens, but like you doing it through meditation and stuff.
Oh my goodness.
And he'll like go out to fields and sit with groups of people, and they do like seances, and then lights and stuff appear in the sky, and they like communicate them through meditation. And that episode really blew my mind, because obviously you guys know I'm super interested in consciousness and UFOs, and for me that one was like bringing everything together, and
it was like a home run.
Yeah, it was quite mind blowing.
Cool. Have you tried any? Have you tried any contact through meditation?
I haven't. I am, because I said this to him, because I do practice meditation here and there when I like get a chance. But I said this to him because I was like, obviously I've sat there and I've tried to think like, right, okay, if there is something there, can you appear in the sky in front of me? I'm kind of here. And the way that he explained it is you kind of have to like Google map yourself. So kind of zoom out. So where are you? Then where are you in the state? Then where are you in the country? Where are you on the globe? Wow. Where is that planet in the solar system? And you kind of have to send those intentions out to these like so-called beings that will kind of track onto that and come down and show you that they're here. And when he was just talking me through the process and stuff, it just was absolutely mind-blowing, because so many people do it. Like they have like groups of 30, 40 people that just go out to the mountains and they all sit in a circle and just think about these intentions and they show up. So I thought it's quite interesting, because obviously multiple people are coming away with experiences.
Wow. It's kind of like rando nodding, except for extraterrestrial contact.
A little bit. Mm.
Yeah. I got to say, by the way, I really enjoyed your rando nodding episode, because me and my partner in lockdown, we were watching quite a lot of like just random rando nautica YouTube videos. When we were like going to bed at night, we'd just leave the YouTube algorithm running. And I just never really understood it. And I thought it was a bit of a confusing app with like different ways that people would like communicate to it and stuff like that. But I appreciated your episode. I thought it was a very good explanation on the app.
Wow. I don't know that anybody's ever said that about anything
and
we've covered.
The money, the check will be in the mail, Jacob. Thank you.
Yeah. That was money well spent.
So you've never tried rando nodding? You've never done anything like that before?
No, I haven't. I wouldn't mind doing it, but at the same time, I've seen a lot of people have had like quite bad experiences with the app, with either like finding gruesome things or... Ooh. Like being not tracked, but have had weird things happen to them. And I'm just like, nah, I can't be bothered for that.
Okay.
Now you're in the UK, the birthplace of ley lines. Have you ever been ley hunting?
I haven't. No. And this is actually this will probably be another big surprise. I've never actually been to Stonehenge either.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. It's somewhere that I've always wanted to go, and I am interested in ley lines, but I haven't really done much of it, if I'm honest with you.
Is how big an attraction is Stonehenge for natives versus like international tourists
versus obnoxious, like loud, annoying Americans like us who come in and like pretend to do your accent,
like two oppositely shaped Americans
who come over and shout constantly.
Is it more popular for those people or for locals?
Big fanny pack. Definitely more popular for tourists, but it does get quite a lot of stuff. I'd say it's popular when there's like a winter solstice or a summer solstice, because I think if I'm right, that's when like
come out.
The sun passes through or something, doesn't it? So they have like a bit of an event there, but it's like next to a motorway down south.
Right.
A lot of people can just drive past it like when they're going to work and stuff.
Yeah. It's like right off the highway.
Wow.
It's a great roadside attraction now.
Wow. Yeah. that's I don't know. That's interesting. Oh, I love when those druids come out in full bloom with their axes. Oh, well, druids don't have axes. Fuck, those are dwarves. Oh, god damn it. Fuck.
I mean, the druids,
I had that queued up.
Druids might be wearing a wolf pelt or something,
yeah,
but
no.
Why are they carrying axes?
Druids would have shillelaghs.
Yeah, probably. Jeez.
Or clubs of some kind. Staves, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I fucked this up. Let's start over from the top. No, I mean, I think, you know, Jacob, you know, I think there's nothing left here to talk about other than we got to get to today's topic. We got to blast off to the stars. We've been talking about friggin' space, and all these space freaks are all suited up. They're all ready to get in their little ships and blast off with the elites off to some underground base in Mars.
Let's ditch this crap hole planet and go somewhere nice.
Yeah.
Like Mars.
Let's do it.
All right. So this is Alternative 3 here on Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast.
10, 9,
God.
8, 7, 6, 5. Oh, God, I hit the button early.
Oh, fuck you.
Art, you and I are well known as quote-unquote guys who studied comedy but clearly didn't learn anything. But I don't think that's fair. We know the comedy rule of threes, right?
I mean, that's of course the rule that says if something is funny once, you can maybe milk it two additional laughs out of it. But maybe it's more than two laughs, you know, might as well keep going way past three times and see what happens. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I can't argue with that logic. But there's just something so neat about sets of three, isn't there? The Three Musketeers, Three Blind Mice, Applebee's 3-for-10 menu. Three is just so satisfying. Even when the topic is possible solutions to runaway greenhouse effect from excess pollution on Earth. Such was the subject of a 1977 television broadcast in England, which told of secret bases built on the moon by the USA and USSR governments, and a program to build more secret bases on Mars in preparation for a global environmental disaster on Earth. The TV program was supposedly a hoax, but later investigators alleged that the subject of the show was a real-life covert government program. The show has since been dubbed by at least one person as, quote, the most dangerous television program in the world, end quote. Wait till we get on TV. This is a topic so dangerous and so English that we had to ask our pal, fellow podcaster, Bunk Funker, OG Bunk Funker, and UK resident Jacob Carson of The Infinite Void at Infinite Void Pod, patreon.com/InfiniteVoidPod, and Stranger Times at Stranger Times Pod, stranger-times.com podcasts to join us and turn this duo into an unseasonably steamy threesome.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. I look forward to lending some much needed credibility to your show.
Oh, God. And we're looking forward to that, too.
We need it.
I mean, we do. So often when we cover topics about, you know, space or literally any other subject, people email us, they DM us, or they leave messages written in feces on the bunker door saying things like, quote, you guys don't know anything about space, or you're horrible people, or please just leave humanity alone. What did any of us do to deserve this? You know, stuff like that.
Well, hopefully after this episode, the only thing scrawled in poo on the bunker door is great job.
We can hope.
So anyway, let's get into the topic at hand by starting with the story of the television broadcast. On June 20th, 1977, Angela TV, an independent television station broadcasting in the east of England in the UK, broadcasted an episode of its program, Science Report, titled Alternative 3. At the top of the episode, the show declares how the intention was to investigate Britain's brain drain, where a number of scientists, the show says they compiled 400 names of scientists who ostensibly left the UK seeking better paying jobs overseas. As the report found out, though, scientists weren't just taking good jobs overseas, they were completely disappearing altogether. And in some cases, these eggheads even died.
One of the unlucky eggheads featured was Professor Sir William Ballantyne, who was affiliated with the Jodrell Bank Astronomical Observatory, easy for me to say. Before his untimely demise in a car crash, Professor Ballantyne mailed a reel of videotape to a friend in the media, Robert Hendry, who was news editor for the World Press Services. Ballantyne told Hendry to not do anything with the tape until Ballantyne could meet with him. When Hendry finally watched the tape, after Ballantyne's demise, it was nothing but static. Creepy.
Ooh. Now, the program further reported these scientists were coming up missing because they were part of a covert joint venture between the USA and USSR in space.
What?
According to Alternative 3, space travel has been possible for longer than we've been led to believe, and was more sophisticated at the time than the public knew. Former NASA astronaut Bob Grodin claimed during an interview for the show to have witnessed a base on the moon during a moonwalk. Grodin also said that the U.S. space program was just a smokescreen for what the U.S. government was really up to.
Alternative 3 then reported that eggheads figured out that pollution on Earth was going to lead to a catastrophic climate change, making Earth's surface inhospitable. The episode of Science Report used examples of drought, heat waves, increased desertification, blizzards, earthquakes, and even volcanic eruptions.
According to the show, Dr. Carl Gerstein, a lecturer of physics at Cambridge, was one of the first eggheads to warn about the impacts of humanity's pollution problem. At the time, Dr. Gerstein was branded a, quote, whiny boo-hoo baby who needed a bottle and diaper change, end quote, for this warning. But eventually, it came to be recognized that Dr. Gerstein had sadly been right all along. Luckily, as the program reports, the topic came up for discussion in 1957 at a conference in one of humanity's greatest centers of learning, Huntsville, Alabama. Dr. Gerstein was in attendance, and during this conference, three possible alternative solutions to the climate change issue were proposed.
First, there was alternative one, which was use nuclear weapons to open up the atmosphere a little bit for the trapped greenhouse gases to get out. But it would also let out a ton of UV rays, which would kill a lot of people. Although, in the case of excess pollution, population reduction is a good thing. Then there was alternative two. Build underground bunkers for government officials and society's elites. The rest of us can fuck off and die. Well, not us, I guess. I mean, we're already in a bunker. But regardless, a bunch of non-bunked folks dying is a good outcome in this scenario.
And then alternative three, the big one. The first two ideas were seen as not feasible or crazy, as Dr. Gerstein described them. So instead, focus turned to alternative three, which Dr. Gerstein described as maybe not so crazy. The idea behind Alternative 3 was to move human civilization to Mars. Really, just move a good cross-section of people, letting the rest of us die off, and use the moon as an interplanetary truck stop.
Headed out to Mars? Well, don't forget to stop by Big Todd's Lunar Truck Stop. We've got a crater full of beef jerky and the cleanest bathrooms this side of the Oort cloud. Every visit comes with a complimentary and mandatory shower in one of our patented Big Todd locker room style communal showers. Need a cup of Joe before you hit the space road? Fuck you! We only sell Monster Energy drinks, and if you don't like it, I, Big Todd, will Greco-Roman wrestle you until you submit. So come on down to Big Todd's. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's Big Todd's Lunar Truck Stop.
Anyway, according to the Science Report, in 1961, Mars experienced some of the weirdest storms ever recorded. Afterwards, the planet had areas which may have been home to vegetation. Dr. Gerstein suggested that perhaps the USSR detonated nuclear bombs on Mars in a terraforming attempt.
It's kind of a donation.
Yeah, they donated them and then they blew up.
Yeah.
So this episode, the episode of Science Report wraps up with reporters figuring out, thanks to the help from Bob Grodin and a guy who attacked the camera crew, an unnamed attacker, that they needed a decoding device to view Professor Ballantyne's video. They get the decoder, they watch the video, and this tape doesn't disappoint. It shows a 1962. 1962, Martian landing of a unmanned space probe conducted jointly by the U.S. and the Soviets, where mission control immediately sees life moving just under the Martian soil. Now, we know the footage is from 1962 because an American clearly says the full date, the 22nd of May, 1962. He also says that if they ever, quote, take the wraps off this, end quote, it's going to be a big deal.
Obviously, these were some sensational claims made by the science report. And as it turns out, the whole thing was just an April Fool's prank. It was designed to be a successor to the Orson Welles 1938 War of the Worlds radio broadcast. Alternative 3's credit list, the actors and writers involved in the production, British musician, composer, producer, etc., Brian Eno, even contributed music.
Yeah. Well, you know what? My alter ego, Artie Emo, could have done a pretty good job doing the music for this too. And you guys are in for a fucking treat because I brought along a demo tape from one of, from my band, Promise Rings and Broken Dreams.
Oh boy.
And I did a little demo tape as well. So here you go, Bunk Funkers. Spaceship is waiting, the engine's firing, begging to be used, and so are you. This space mission is leaving you to on the surface of Mars, where the hidden secret base is and fresh non-polluted air. You left me here on Earth. Now I'm really fucking sad. I'm looking up at Mars and the moon. Wish I was good enough for alternative 3. So, you're welcome.
Yeah, it's pretty stunning that RE Emo didn't get a call for that.
I know, Jacob. That's what I'm saying.
Anyways, yeah. Apparently, Alternative 3 was supposed to air on April 1st, but for some reason, possibly a labor dispute or scheduling SNAFU, the show didn't end up airing until June 20th.
Oh my God, they got us good. An April Fool's prank in June? Wow, these absolute prank kings at Anglia TV.
And they didn't just get us, they got lots of people got.
Yeah. They got lots of people got.
Now, after the... shut up. After the broadcast, Anglia TV received many. What? What is it?
Anglia TV.
Is it... What is it? Anglica? What is it?
I think I said Anglia at the start.
What is it?
I'm not
it?
Even sure.
Anglia.
Oh.
It's in East Anglia.
All right. Well, after the broadcast, Anglia TV... But I'm going to call it Anglia TV.
Okay.
Received many and more phone calls from concerned viewers who needed to know much and more about this nefarious scheme. The viewers were told the broadcast was a hoax, but that didn't make Alternative 3 any less popular. Though broadcast only once in England, the program was broadcast in other countries globally. A book based on the screenplay written by Leslie Watkins was released in 1978, and there were some slight changes from the show. For example, the book attributed some of the quotes made by fake astronauts during the TV broadcast to actual real-life astronauts.
According to some, such as author and researcher Olaf Phillips, Alternative 3 was banned everywhere it aired. Allegedly, an attempt was made to bring the program to the US, where it was rejected by censors. It's seniors. It's also been said that no master copies of Alternative 3 have survived, nor have any contracts or legal documents surrounding the production, leading some to speculate that maybe this is more than a hella sick prank.
Maybe, but I don't know.
Well, you know, famed hacker Gary McKinnon sure thought so. In 2001 and 2002, McKinnon prolifically targeted U.S. Department of Defense and NASA computers, allegedly 97 computers in total.
Wow.
And he hacked the shit out of them. He was even credited by U.S. officials with pulling off, quote, the biggest military computer hack of all time, end quote.
Meanwhile, Andy, you were personally named the biggest hack of all time by all the people who have ever been in contact with you or seen you perform or consume any media with you in it.
Truly, I brought the world together in mutual hatred of everything about me. You're welcome, Earth.
Well, and let me tell you, as Earth's spokesperson, we are so grateful for you making us all feel better about ourselves through your own ineptitude, Andy.
I'm finally getting the recognition I deserve.
That's true. Now let's get back to recognizing this story. And McKinnon claimed he did all this hacking in hopes of finding evidence of extraterrestrial visitation and free energy technology that the government had kept under wraps. While he didn't prove that ETs are sneaking into our bedrooms at night and tenderly probing our anuses, what he did allegedly find was evidence that Alternative 3 was way more than a joke.
McKinnon's first piece of evidence was a spreadsheet.
Okay, I gotta stop you right there. Case confirmed. If it's in Excel, I'm buying.
Maybe you should look up from the open face toilet because the next part is important, so pay attention. In the spreadsheet, McKinnon found the names and ranks of some of the US Air Force officers with some other information about ship-to-ship transfers. The content didn't seem unusual, but the names on the file were. It was the title Non-Extraterrestrial Officers. McKinnon didn't believe that this was a reference to extraterrestrials serving in the USAF, which would have been pretty freaking rad, but rather a reference to human officers serving somewhere other than Earth, which is also pretty rad. Another strange thing about the spreadsheet is that the officers and the ships named in the sheet didn't seem to actually exist.
Now, McKinnon also said he went to Building 8 at NASA's Johnson Space Center to see if he could find evidence that NASA was airbrushing UFOs out of space photographs. McKinnon was inspired to do this because former NASA employee Donna Hare claimed that that's what was happening in Building 8 in the 1970s. Hare also heard from other NASA employees that Apollo astronauts, who were supposedly the first humans on the moon, saw man-made structures and spaceships on the moon when they got there. Hare's testimony was similar to that of Sergeant Carl Wolf, who reported seeing photographs of a base on the dark side of the moon at a U.S. National Security Agency facility in 1965. Additionally, Wolf said there were scientists from a wide variety of nations at the U.S. government facility.
During his Building 8 hacking exploit, Gary McKinnon said he got access to an open computer and found file folders labeled raw and uncut. Whoops, I mean raw and processed. Anyway, in the raw folder, McKinnon said he found an image of a cigar-shaped object over Earth's northern hemisphere, possibly a craft used in an Alternative 3 type operation.
Not to burst your cigar-shaped balloons, bunk funkers, but unfortunately, Gary McKinnon didn't retain any of this evidence through a screenshot or anything, so we really only have his word to go on.
Oh, and also he said he was high on weed and or drunk during these events, but hey, I mean, I'm not so sure we could take the word of somebody who has such poor impulse control. Oh, excuse me, guys, one moment.
Who is it?
Delivery! I got 4 dozen body pillows in the shape of the green M&M.
Oh, well, we didn't order that stuff. You must have the wrong address. I mean, I'll sign for it just because I'm busy here, but these aren't mine, okay?
Sheesh. Can you believe that guy?
What was that about?
Not well. I mean, it's like, you know, like these aren't my green M&M body pillows. Stop trying to force them on me, delivery guy.
So you were saying something about impulse control?
I don't remember what I was saying, Jacob. The point is, maybe McKinnon... Jacob, don't question me. The point is, maybe this McKinnon guy was onto something. And even after NASA was organized in 1958, the U.S. Air Force, or USAF, continued to operate its own parallel space program. The Air Force also had a history of developing and testing top secret aircraft years before the aircraft became known to the public. Since NASA's founding, the USAF has pursued a number of space-related initiatives that were, quote-unquote, officially canceled or abandoned.
You're right about that, Art. Here's some examples. For starters, in the late 1950s, the US Air Force invested heavily in developing a reusable spacecraft called Dinosaur, only to see the project cancelled in 1963. Later, the USAF had plans for a space station, the Manned Orbital Laboratory, or MOL, which was cancelled too. The Air Force also had a project to build a base on the moon, even before NASA's 1969 manned lunar lander. The project was also cancelled, alleged, before the base was even constructed. It was also reported that in 1989 that the Air Force scrapped a manned spaceflight program, the USAF, and had 32 astronauts assigned to the program and had built a facility to launch space shuttles in Colorado. The whole project, big as it was not made known to the public until 1989, in a 1989 report. Obviously, in all of these cases, the US military invested money into these schemes. Even though they were all abandoned, maybe the programs continued to be operated in secret, or enough technical insights were gained to further the USA's spacefaring capabilities in ways that were not known publicly.
And maybe you're exactly right, Jacob, because in one of US President Ronald Reagan's journal entries from 1985, Reagan wrote that he learned the US space shuttle capacity could put 300 people in orbit. 300's a big number. It also has a 3 in it. Higher than I can count. I mean, I can't count to 300.
Yeah, well known about you.
And there's no publicly available information to suggest that the U.S. has ever had the capability to orbit 300 people. Maybe President Reagan didn't know what the fuck he was talking about because he was a senile, impotent old fuck.
But maybe Reagan did know what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
In 2007, a French Department of Defense official, Colonel Yves Blin, said the French Grave space radar detected 20 to 30 satellites orbiting Earth that didn't seem to exist, according to the U.S. Department of Defense, which keeps a list of all orbiting satellites. Given that these objects were not cataloged by the USA, they were likely launched by the USA. The evidence doesn't exactly suggest alternative three-type operations, but it furthers the suggestion that the U.S. government has some kind of covert space operations, perhaps including the ability to put more people in space than we think.
All of this might actually have led to a real-life Alternative 3 operation. Laura Eisenhower, U.S. President Dwight D. Eisenhower's great-granddaughter, said in 2010 that she was asked in 2006 to be part of a Martian survival colony. Not many people believe Laura, but this is exactly what Alternative 3 was all about. Bigfoot hunter and author David Plaudis, I want to say,
Palaudis.
David Plaudis has extensively profiled folks who come up missing in America's wild areas and other parts of the globe in his Missing 411 series of books. It's been suggested that people profiled by Plaudis might have come up missing because they were a continuing part of an Alternative 3-like project.
Now, for more information on Missing 411, consult your local library. Or just consult our episode on the topic.
Bunkfunkers, maybe the most compelling argument in favor of Alternative 3 being an actual factual government program is the fact that Alternatives 1 and 2 were legitimately pursued, even if not in the exact same context suggested by the Alternative 3 TV program. In 1958, the USA detonated 3 nuclear warheads in Earth's atmosphere as part of Operation Argus. Ostensibly, the point of doing this was to test the impacts of radiation on the upper atmosphere in hopes of creating an electron shield to wreck the electronic components of any Soviet missiles headed toward the good old US of A. And maybe it would blind their radar so we could fire nukes back at them and they'd be none the wiser. LOL. Get wrecked, Khrushchev.
And we covered in our episode on the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, or HARP. Some people believe the ionospheric heater, why'd you give me this paragraph, in Alaska is a continuation of the attempts made with Project Argus.
And hey, maybe Edward Teller, the famous egghead of the H-bomb father, was a real-life inspiration to Dr. Carl Gerstein in the Science Report's Alternative 3 episode. Teller was an early believer in climate change dangers and even warned about the greenhouse effects at the American Chemical Society function in 1957, the same year the fictional Gerstein supposedly addressed the Huntsville, Alabama conference. Teller also advocated for putting a cloud of aluminium, I should say aluminum for your American listeners.
No, please say aluminium. It's actually the proper way to say it.
Okay, well, a cloud of aluminium or sulfur dust in the atmosphere to block sunlight to ease global warming. Chemtrails, anyone?
I'll take one.
Ooh, one for the table. If you get some chemtrails,
I'll share. Okay. Yeah.
Teller further suggested that humans detonated a nuclear bomb underground on the moon, which would free water trapped inside the moon, allowing humans to colonize the satellite. That's kind of alternative three-ish.
Now, as for underground installations to house the power elite, these already exist and have for a while. There are more than 100 of these types of sites just in North America. Some of these bases are huge and have matching infrastructure, with some, for example, being serviced by their own railroad lines and being home to their own hospitals. There's also places like the Svalbard Global Seed Vault, which has a wide variety of non-modified seed species, which are cold stored underground. And let's not forget the Denver International Airport, which has extensive underground tunnels, which some say are for baggage and personnel, but others say are the future home of the New World Order government.
Hey, check out our episode on the Denver International Airport for the whole enchilada on that topic and all those tunnels.
Let's drop another log on the alternative is real fire. Leslie Watkins, the author of the novel based on the Alternative 3 screenplay, said after the book was published, he received numerous letters telling him that the show and his book had basically been accurate. These letter writers said Alternative 3 was real and provided evidence. Watkins set out to write a non-fictional follow-up book, but quit working on it after he felt he was being monitored by intelligence agencies.
Oh, well, now let's drop trow and take a wet, skeptical dump on that alternative is real fire. I mean, we got to put it out before we leave the campground, the conspiracy campground.
That's true.
What are skeptics saying about this topic? What do they think? Well, in typical skeptical fashion, people with no sense of wonder, like Andy, find it pretty hard to believe that an operation as massive as required for Alternative 3 could be kept completely secret. To them, it stains credulity?
Yeah. It seems incredulous.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Strange credulity.
You know what? You write like an elite who is going to be on one of these fucking shows.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope I get recognized for this beautiful writing.
It stains credulity. It stains their credibility to believe that dozens or hundreds of rocket launches could take place, ferrying personnel and supplies to the moon, and nobody would notice. Or that all this stuff in space wouldn't be noticed by the amateur astronomers all over the globe, or by nations who don't particularly like the USA, and which also have satellites and telescopes, and which would be able to detect such objects. Or that the likely thousands of people involved in such an effort would, just keep quiet, both at the time and in the intervening decades.
There are also questions about funding for an Alternative 3 style endeavor. While the U.S. military has a long history of so-called off-book expenditures for secret programs, the amount of cash needed to build a base on the moon and a colony on Mars would be astronomical. Thank you. Good night.
Is it really believable that the U.S. military could set aside that much money for this type of program rather than spending the funds on things designed to kill all humans? Further, is it believable that Andy wasn't waiting this entire episode to drop that awful pun on us?
I'd rather die on the barren surface of the scorched earth than listen to another one of Andy's jokes.
Well, then I've got good news and bad news, because both of those things are coming whether anybody wants them or not.
As the Earth moves inexorably towards the demise of its habitability, so does this episode move inexorably towards its conclusion. it seems fitting at this time to share the words of the writer of the Alternative 3 screenplay, David Ambrose. The answer is beware of the media. There is an obligation to every viewer to sift through evidence being fed to them and to make up their own mind if they accept it. My advice to viewers is keep your wits about you.
And so it is true, Bunkfunkers. Keep your wits about you when consuming media. Just because a couple of hunky podcast co-hosts and their hogged-out GigaChad friend claim they're going to deliver, oh, I don't know, the entire chimichanga or something on a particular topic doesn't mean you should believe them unquestioningly. That said, what I just described sounds like a good way to get information and, wow, very enjoyable to listen to. Regardless, Bunkfunkers, there's only one option at this point. It's time to suit up, strap in, and blast off to parts unknown to fill the Infinite Void podcast at Infinite Void Pod, in our mind tummies with the ultimate in international collaboration, the whole enchilada.
Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast will be right back after this brief message.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, welcome back, Bunk Funkers. That was our research of Alternative 3. And with us still is Jacob Carson.
Hello.
Listen, guys, here's the thing about this topic. Not really sure it's relevant to today at all.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
I don't think there's anything happening in the news recently that, like,
this program turned out to be so off base on everything. Yeah. It's just clearly a hoax.
Kind of weird.
They didn't know what they were talking about.
I mean, here's the thing, Jacob. Well, first of all, Jacob, UK resident, did you ever see this program? Have you ever heard of this program? Do you know anybody who knew this program?
I hadn't seen anything, wow, really. Well, I hadn't watched this program until you guys had somehow managed to find the video on YouTube that somebody had managed to upload to it.
We sourced it.
Yeah, when I watched it, it was very interesting because they do quite a lot of like fear mongering in it, don't they?
Yeah.
It's very like the end is near kind of thing.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny to me because the program itself, like, they actually, it was well thought out.
Yeah,
because it actually, the climate change stuff turned out to be pretty much right.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know what climate science was like in 1977, you know, because I was zoned out at the time.
You were checked out.
Yeah. I was living in, on the smallest Hawaiian island.
Which one?
Yeah, it was, Little Hawaii is what I
thought.
I was, you know, locals thought that I was some sort of a beast because I lived with my two pet pigs, Oinky and Mr. Porker, and they thought I was some kind of a pig man. Mm-hmm. Because I was always covered in dirt and eating truffles constantly.
Yeah.
And
truffles
just,
native to Hawaii, of course.
Right. Yeah, they're out there. You just got to know, bring the pigs and the pigs will find them. And yeah, I lived in a pineapple under the sea.
Okay, so now you lived very akin to SpongeBob, and you had a neighbor who was a squid, and your best friend was a goofy, aloof Starfish.
No, my best friends were the pigs.
Okay.
I put them in like little wetsuits and they had oxygen. And we would come up to the surface every couple of days. So I don't know really know what the climate science was like in 1977.
That's why you didn't know what the climate science were like.
Yeah, I had a lot going on in my life at the time.
I have a question. What do you, so this is very akin to War of the Worlds.
Right.
I don't really know. I think it would be interesting to look at like other hoax and doomsday programs that scared a fuck ton of people. Because I don't know of many more other than these two. What do you guys make of these? Like, do you think that these are cruel? Are these cruel? Like, tricking people into thinking that it's... Obviously, these things, these programs are put forth as if they are real and true and factual. And every time that happens, people freak out. What do you think?
It's a weird one because, like, I think they're cool because they are essentially doing what they were, like, made to do,
right?
Which would probably be to freak people out or have people sitting on the edge of their seat listening to what they think's going on. But I think it's interesting that the approach that gets took with them, like whoever's broadcasting it decides to put no disclaimer in front of it to freak everybody out.
I agree with you, Jacob. I think that you know, although to David Ambrose's point, I do think that there's some, you know, as a view, as a consumer of media, you do have to exercise some discretion too, because like War of the Worlds was a book, you know, before Orson Welles adapted it for radio play in 1938 or whatever. And like this alternative three, I don't know how anybody else feels, but some of the acting, some of the stuff that happened, it was like, okay, this feels over the top to me. Like, you know, if I had been watching that live, I guess I don't know exactly how I would feel, but me watching it now, I guess I have the knowledge that it was supposed to be a hoax. So maybe that colors my consumption of it, but I had that feeling where it's like my BS detectors are kind of going off, you know?
Ugh. Is that why your nipples are so hard?
Yeah. My BS detectors are going off.
Oh, Jesus. There's kind of that thing where it's like that meme of Buster from the Arthur cartoon that's like, would people just do that? Go on the internet and lie like that?
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like, it's a little bit of that, but it's also like, I think they're a product of their times because, you know, in the War of the Worlds scenario, people listened to the radio and they believed everything. That's how they got their news. That's how they got everything.
Yeah.
That was their connection to the outside world. And so, like, they couldn't even fathom the idea of, like, somebody doing a hoax like that, because it's so, you know, and the same thing I think maybe with this alternative three, it's like, you know, if the television is telling you it, I mean, I don't know, I think with late 70s you kind of have to be maybe a little bit more savvy where you're kind of like, all right.
Plus Science Report was an established like docu-series that did actually report on scientific things.
Well, that changes my opinion a little bit then, because if this is something that's known for doing true things.
Yeah.
They also completely missed the mark of April 1st.
Right. Yeah.
That
really hurts that it's in April. But, you know, at the end, they did run credits and all of the people are listed clearly as actors. I mean, you know, I know people don't watch the credits, but I mean, how are you ever going to see your favorite comedians' names when they're in something if you don't watch the credits?
Or my favorite, Key Grip number 2.
Yeah. Or Gaffer.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of,
I think that's another good point though, too. Cause like, say if this kind of show aired on like Twitter tomorrow, but you had all of the like really, I was trying to think of like a well-respected, well-renowned news place, but I can't actually fully think of one off the top of my head. But
the BBC,
The Sun.
The Sun.
So, let's just say one of them comes out and it says this and it's all over Twitter. Like, would people believe it like in this day and age? Because I think as well, like you guys were saying in the 70s, like people were using like the television or the radio for their like place of news. And if you've got like a thing like Scientific Report or Science Report, which as Andy was saying is like known for reporting on science and stuff, and the way how they opened it with it being all about climate change and everything, I could understand why people would think it was real, especially if they're not going to be like interested in it for the entire time. Do you know what I mean? Like if they've switched it on, watched the first 10 minutes and then been like, oh, that's freaked me out. Or they've gone out of the room or something and the rest of it's carried on. I could understand why a lot of people would freak out, but
yeah,
for me, it was the acting that kind of gave it away.
I tend to agree.
I was not a fan of the audio either, how they kept the mixing of the audio. Like, why is he standing outside of an airport just to talk about the airport and the plane's taking off? It's so loud.
I can't agree more with everything you just said, Jacob. But it does like, I mean, in a way, it's like it's a good April Fool's prank, but
you got to release it on April Fool's.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing is like that execution point of it. Like it's kind of like, well, I mean they did a good job, but then it's like, well, that kind of really muddies the water.
So the idea of this program is that global elites can be ferried off and go and colonize another planet and leave Earth to fuck off and die, much akin to like a BioShock kind of scenario, which. Maybe is getting into a little bit of, I think BioShock was kind of based on Atlas Shrugged, the original BioShock. And I don't know about the other ones, but that this like all the smartest people and the top, the elites are going to go and create I don't know what you would call it.
Utopia.
A utopia or like a, but it's not like an oligarchy or a technocracy or there's something to that where it's like the smartest are at the top or something. I don't remember, but
there's like a runaway society thing as well.
Yeah.
So
would you guys, if given the opportunity to go aboard Jeffrey Bezos's or
Sir Jeffrey Bezos,
or Elon Musk's different spaceships to go colonize a new planet, would you do it? Let's say there was open casting, you know, somehow Andy gets past the medical screening.
Unlikely.
And really the mental fortitude.
I'd be winded filling out the forms.
Let's say you guys can get past all that and you're clear. You're given the green light and Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, they kind of come up to you and it's like, all right, this is your last chance to say no. What do you guys say? You going to go colonize a new planet?
I think I would, yeah. Ooh. What about you guys?
I know, I'm not surprised at all by that answer.
Jacob is a true space freak.
Yeah. I would want to know how comfortable I'd be. If it's going to be hard at all, I'm out.
But let's say things here are getting real fucking bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to get real bad here. You know, we could put some parameters on it. Like, maybe we're moving towards a workless society. So you really have no fucking purpose.
Not much different than now.
That's true.
Can I take anybody with me or it's just me and I have to leave everything else behind?
Yeah, actually, that's a good bit that we need to know. Are we allowed to take stuff with us?
You get your partner and obviously Andy has a child, so you can bring your kid.
Okay, immediate family can come along.
But you can't bring me? Ride or die?
Yeah, that really does sweeten the deal. I'm in.
Jacob, what about you?
A world without art? Sign me up.
Yeah, I think I would. I think it would be fun.
Do we have to like survive the harsh?
You're colonized. Like there's like, okay, it's like an expanse type system where it's like there's bases, but like you're going to have to fulfill a role. Okay. Where like you're the fucking herbologist or whatever. I don't know what the fuck you call it.
Yeah, I would do that.
The plant guy. They're like, okay, Andy, you're in charge of the seeds.
The botanist.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh my God, what a cruel cosmic joke that would be to make me in charge of the seeds. Make the sterile guy in charge of the seed? Give me a break.
What? Okay.
Jeff Bezos, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you, Jeff Bezos, for making Andy feel bad about his sterility. What about, what do you hope that your job is terraforming Mars, Jacob?
Ooh,
can give you a chance to think about it.
Yeah,
Andy, do you have an idea of what you hope your job would be?
Wow,
if you had to go, if you were somehow aboard the, like I don't know, maybe they do just want somebody there so that everyone else doesn't feel bad, or like they make sure that you're there so you're like the first one to die.
The colony, I'm like the colony drunk where everyone's like, well, at least we're not as bad as Andy.
Yeah. Things aren't so bad.
It could be worse. We could be alcoholics too. Ugh, look at him. He's a mess. He just threw up on himself.
Or just in case they encounter any Xenos, you're like the fodder. They're like, okay, well, everyone else will get away because it's clearly going to eat Andy.
What would I guess what I would want to be is security.
Really?
Because that's got to be an easy job, right?
You think?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Limited
Andy.
Number of people. They can't come from anywhere else. They're confined to that colony. What am I going to do? Watch the door? Who's showing up on Mars? That'd be a cake job.
I don't know. I would not.
Put me in the little guard shack outside the colony. Kick my feet up. I'll watch my little TV.
You are not thinking clearly enough. What if there's a mutiny of some kind? People start freaking out at how hard it is to terraform this planet. They start regretting their decision. There's no way to escape. They're stuck underground.
Oh, yeah.
In these ships. And they start going stir crazy.
You know what I do? I pick up my little red phone and I go, General, get the National Guard in here.
And they're like, okay, they'll be there in a week.
The Space Force.
It's going to take a week and a half for them to get out there. I think I would never have guessed security would be your first fucking option.
What would you think it would be? Chef?
Yeah, I'd say you could be the
work
cook.
In the kitchens? Yeah, probably I could work in the kitchens. Probably all freeze-dried food anyway.
Can't get
fresh produce yet. We still got to grow it, so... Yeah, I could add water to stuff.
Okay. Let me figure that out.
I think I would probably go with maybe being like a driver or or something like that. Because at least then,
operations.
If you are having like a bad time and you are in a little bunker on Mars and you don't get to see anything, at least you kind of get to drive around on the surface and like crazy stuff and look at it.
You know,
that's a great point.
I can tell you from experience that driving a golf cart through a crowded people is a very fun experience. You get honked. There's a lot of power involved with it. You know, famously, I carted Chance the Rapper and his entourage through a crowd of people and then dropped him off in like the middle of the crowd and told him, like, go over there. That's a true story.
wow, what a story. What would your job be, Artie?
Oh, God. That's a good fucking question. I'd be so useless.
Thank you. I'm glad I thought of that question.
Probably like the king of the bunker.
King?
Yeah.
You're going to be the first one to die if there is a mutiny.
Yeah, that's
true. Because it's all because of your oppressive rule.
I wouldn't be a botanist. I have no green thumb, no love for plants. God, I can't fucking drive. I haven't driven a car in like 8 years. Jesus, what the fuck kind of skills do I have? I don't have anything.
You could be... Yeah, I don't think you can come to the colony.
I think they might just... I think they might just be the voice on the tannoid. The annoying fucking overlord voice. I say the daily announcements.
Yeah, and you could like wake people up as well. You could be their alarms, like when they're all in their like personal things.
I think they would have to like take out my fucking organs and turn me into like a Ridley Scott version android where all my insides are milk.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
And that's it. I would just be an android. I think that's the only way that I'm useful on a
I think that would actually be a pretty good book, an android on Mars that's struggling to find his purpose.
Oh, God. And then the big twist of the reveal at the end is that he's actually human. And he's just me. He just struggles to relate to other people.
He's just been wearing a shirt this whole time that looks like Android components.
Now, I think about like the movie Moon with Sam Rockwell and redacted Kevin Spacey. And I think about like that where it's like, yeah, I could probably do like, I'd probably be like a worker. Like, honestly, like that's all I could really, unless I can contribute to like high level functions, I really can't do much else. So.
Yeah.
If they want me to go like move fucking space crates around and like go terraform some rocks, I could
forklift operator.
I could do some forklifting. Anyway,
thinking about that, I wonder, it's a bit off topic, but I wonder if in the future like they'll have that kind of thing set up, like you know how back in the day people used to have to do like national service and stuff like that. Maybe like one day in the future, young people just get shipped off to Mars to help build it.
Get drafted into the Mars.
They do like a little tour.
Oh, wow.
Their little bit. And then they get to come back and live off their UBI or something.
That would be fucking wild.
That's proper
scary.
Dystopian there, that, isn't it? Yeah.
That is proper dystopian, I would say. Yes, yeah. I would agree with that. Well, let's get into the topic at hand here because, you know, there's a lot of interesting stuff, obviously. I mean... You know, Jacob, you're a fan of like SpaceX and a lot. I mean, you truly are a space freak. And obviously, you know, people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos are kind of like pushing, like they're trying to push the space agenda to get us back in, out, and into space. And I mean, SpaceX has launched, you know, I watched a bunch of their fucking rocket launch. Where, what did they do? They did the first successful, like, they launched a rocket into space. And then
yeah, the like thing the detached. Reusable one, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was reusable. And then it detached, and the it didn't use like all that like gas or whatever they use to fucking power spaceships. And it like landed safely, and then they attached the International Space Station. Is that correct?
Yeah. And then after they did that for 2 years, then last year they did that first manned one where I think it was crew one or crew two, I think. Yeah.
And then Blue Origin is Bezos's thing, and that's like
that's his flagship.
That's like humans in space.
Emperor Bezos's flagship.
Emperor Bezos.
Blue Origin's a bit of a weird one though, because they're like going more so down the tourism route, even though they're trying to get NASA contracts for like the Artemis missions and the Mars missions, but I think it's more like SpaceX that is signing those ones.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's no secret that Elon Musk has quite a few defense contracts under his belt, and those are worth a pretty penny. So from that perspective, as somebody who really, really, really knows a lot about kind of these space ventures that's going on, what's your kind of take over the, do you think that maybe there is any inkling that these guys could be trying to do something like an alternative three in any capacity?
I'm not sure. I'd like to say yeah, but I'm honestly not sure, because you'd think at the same time with these kinds of people, they do have massive egos, and like Elon Musk does not shut up on Twitter. Do you know what I mean? He's just constant. And it's the same with like people like Richard Branson when he's on the news and stuff like that, because he's just all about himself. And yeah. I often do wonder that if there was like a secret agenda, like Alternative 3, would those people be able to kind of keep that secret and not like allow their egos to get in the way?
That's a good point.
So I'm not sure, but I'd say that if there was, it would probably be more so with the governments of the world than with like private companies or billionaires. I think maybe the companies might be hired to build the things, but I don't think that people like Elon Musk necessarily have that, if that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah. Like this could be one of those situations where the government is contracting with things like SpaceX or what's Elon's company?
Tesla?
No, yeah. The space one.
SpaceX.
Oh, it's SpaceX. Well, what's Jeff Bezos' space company?
Blue Origin.
Oh, Blue Origin. Okay. Whew, I'm confused.
Jesus Christ.
This is a lot for me to take in, but you know, the government's contracting with, you know, like private space companies, and they're, you know, producing these crafts or technology or whatever it is. And then what we're seeing is these launches, the space tourism kind of thing and all that.
Yeah.
But then really the government's like taking their research, using their technology, and then covertly using it to build some kind of a interplanetary way station on the moon.
I can't help but feel that like, yeah, they are like letting people like Elon and Bezos and the Bransons, like who are doing, have an unimaginable wealth and who are brilliant engineers. I mean, however people kind of feel about Elon Musk or even Jeff Bezos and some of his practices, they're fucking unbelievably intelligent people. Letting them do kind of this like early legwork and just say like, all right, yeah, we'll pay you a bunch of money, but you give us all the research, all the documentation, everything. You do kind of the early legwork, and then we'll come in later once it's all ready. You've gone through all the processes, because you got to think like a private business like SpaceX, you would think, I mean, maybe not. I think when certain companies kind of get to that size, they can be. I don't even know how big the team at SpaceX is. I'm just saying that I think a private company can build and go faster than like NASA can or like a government. That's why they contract out that work.
Yeah, 100%. I was recently this week actually, SpaceX put out like a tour video of their Starbase that they've just built in Texas, and that's going to be the place that has the Starship, which is that like giant chrome one that kind of goes up, glides in the air, and then belly flops and lands back down.
Yeah.
And when they were walking around that, the presenter that was walking with him started asking him questions like, oh, can you talk to us a little bit about the Space Force, like contracts and stuff that you have? And Elon actually said in that interview when he was like walking around that there are like certain hangars and certain parts that he's not even allowed to walk into because he doesn't have the clearance and he's had to hire people. Yeah, he's had to hire people at SpaceX to oversee certain areas because obviously just because he owns it, he still doesn't have access to it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was quite interesting because I was under the impression that like, well, it's his company. Surely he could ask what's going on my rocket.
Wow. But
I think that is something interesting to think about. And as well, like, I wonder if say something like Alternative 3 is real, like that's the ultimate fuck you really, isn't it? To Jeff Bezos, like let him waste billions of dollars on trying to create a space program just for him to stream it. And when he lands there, them already be there waving at him.
Yeah. Bezos sends a rocket to Mars and there's already a colony there. And they're like, yeah. Got you, dude.
Yeah.
That's very fascinating, Jacob. And I'm glad that, yes, somebody with your
credibility.
Yeah. Credibility and knowledge can kind of shed a light because I just, you know, the part of this that's so fun, again, kernels of truth, is like, how the fuck am I supposed to know if there are colonies on? I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get a decent telescope, but like, I don't think I can beat out the Hubble's, you know, I don't think I could beat out NASA's telescopes.
Yeah, I mean, I could get a good look at a T-bone by sticking my head up a bull's ass, but I'd rather take my butcher's word for it.
And there's always arguments for like, against it too. Do you know what I mean? Like, Because obviously like the moon doesn't properly rotate, does it? It's kind of stuck in a fixed orbit. So you only ever see one side of it. So there's always that argument that, oh, there could be something on the other side. And there's not many public telescopes that are available to the public to allow you to even look there. And like, I think when I was doing a bit of research on this thing, they were saying, weren't they, that like there's one crater on the dark side of the moon that has like four or five American and Russian like landing points on it, and they're all like within the same crater, aren't they?
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's like they in the Alternative 3 broadcast. Tim Britton, there's like a cutout of the moon, and on the light side of the moon, there's all these like flags put in where there's been landings of either manned or unmanned craft, and then they turn it over, and on the dark side of the moon, there's just this one little spot on the dark side of the moon that has American and Soviet flags in it.
Wow. The moon's ass.
Yeah, right in the moon's asshole.
So, I mean, and that's the thing is like, when was the last time we ever went back to the moon? Is it no off the top of your heads?
I think that the last manned mission to the moon was in the 70s, right? The late 70s?
And the reason why we kind of don't go back there is because we're like, well, there's nothing there. And also it's fucking hard.
Yeah, it's like it's like diminishing returns at this point. It's more costly to do it than what can be gained
and
by doing
that
it.
That is very kind of, you know, kind of gets the radar going. Cause it's like, would you really know if they were sending something to the moon? Like, you know?
Yeah. And this is another thing too, that I think about with like the whole secret space program thing. Cause like, obviously NASA have just recently announced that they are going back to the moon with the Artemis missions. I think it's 2025, but it might have been moved back to 2030. But they're obviously collaborating with SpaceX. I think there's another one. They've got Boston Dynamics, which is that robot company, and then Blue Origin. And I think Rolls-Royce are actually doing something with them too. And they're basically developing all this technology. They're going to have this one thing's called Project Gateway, which is actually going to be like a launch platform on the moon for like bases to come back and forth. They're putting an international space station in the orbit of the moon. So people can go to the moon and then either do research on the surface or go into the orbit of the moon to do like microgravity experiments and stuff like that. And then they also want to build like a sustainable base on the moon, and they've got like a 10-year plan for it. But my questioning to that would be, is like, why go to the moon and then do nothing with it for 50 years? And I understand that a lot of people always say like, oh, well,
you know, this is the PR side of it. They're doing this to help make funding and stuff for it. But like, I just don't understand why, if we did have that technology, why we would like waste so much money building things that sometimes don't even work to try and get back there. And it would be, I feel like we're also moving into a time now where there is private companies that can kind of go without any country being like, yeah. And that could probably be stressful too. Cause I can imagine if you were running Alternative 3, you probably would be shitting yourself a little bit if people like Elon Musk and everybody were like, oh, I'm going to do it. And I'm not telling you what our date is yet, because we want to surprise people. We're just going to be on Mars before this time.
Yeah, or
everyone's hand like, it out. Oh, shoot, where are they going to land?
Hand it out to the highest bidding country.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. But yeah, that's a very interesting take.
Oh no, so the SpaceX spacecraft that was on its way to Mars got lost and never made it. Well, anyway, let's all forget that ever happened. This has been me, the US government. Thank you. Good night.
I'm trying to think of what global elites would even want to go on this venture. Because when you think of global elites, you think of the tippy top of society. They live a life of luxury. And this is not going to be luxurious for a long, long time. I mean, it's going to take a long fucking time to like make a bunker on. Like, it's so different. Like, you would have to create artificial gravity and artificial atmosphere in order to live on Mars. Very, very much like the show The Expanse.
Yeah. They say, don't they, that third generation people on Mars will be born with yellow skin, will have bigger body frames because obviously there's less gravity, so not everything's being crushed down, and will actually have bigger eyes because there's less UV, so you need bigger eyes to be able to see.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Because CRISPR are looking into that as well. You know, they're thinking about how they can like assist with pregnant people in space, especially when we go to Mars. Cause obviously like a woman's uterus isn't built for the gravity of Mars. And there could be a lot of like birth defects. So they're looking into like how they can genetically change like babies and stuff so that they can be born suitable to the environment.
That's very interesting.
That's fucking fascinating as shit.
Yeah. I guess you don't
super sci-fi.
I guess I would have never thought about something like that, but how do you give birth on Mars?
Exactly. Or in space where there's no gravity.
Yeah. Boy, that would be a mess.
Boy.
Yeah.
You got to be celibate when you go to space. You can't fuck in space.
Yeah, no fucking
in space. And really, what else do you want to do in space? I mean,
there's nothing else to
do. I go up in space. What are the two things I want to do? I want to fuck. I want to, and I want to shoot like peanut butter and toothpaste into the air and like then catch it in my mouth.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do in space.
Art and his famous tubes of peanut butter.
I want to throw crisps up into the air like Homer Simpson and then fly around and eat the crisps.
Yeah. I want to use that that space toilet that, you know, harnesses the vacuum of space to just
like
thrust your shit out into the wild blue yonder.
Oh my God.
You know that they bring the liquid urine back to Earth?
Yeah. You probably are super into that.
Why do they do that? Is it for, is there a scientific reason?
Why do you want to pollute space with piss?
What's going to happen? It'll just freeze.
Ah.
They'd let the shit go out. They just, it's like the toilet. You sit on the toilet, you strap yourself in, literally.
Which you love.
I know. Oh, baby, get me one of these at home. And then it opens up the vacuum of space and it goes out. But it collects your pee.
So it literally sucks the shit out of your ass.
Well, you shit, but then it. Yeah.
Boy, that's got to feel weird.
It probably does feel weird, but also
good. I'm imagining like a airplane toilet, but I'm probably way off it.
I think it's the same kind of concept. It's just a lot more
aggressive.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, Andy, why they fucking bring the piss.
Why do they bring jars of piss back from outer space?
I don't know. I guess what you're saying is most astronauts are incels.
I mean, you know, yes, number one. And number two, there was that one astronaut that wore a diaper. So I think these astronauts are kind of piss freaks.
Didn't she go a little wild and try to kill somebody?
Oh, yeah.
She drove like cross country.
Yeah, she was driven.
Well, that's fun. If anybody out there is an astronaut, former astronaut, Buzz Aldrin, if you're listening to this, let us know. Why do you bring the piss back?
Buzz Aldrin was one of the astronauts credited with some of the quotes in the 1978 Alternative 3 book.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I imagine if he sees Leslie Watkins ever, he's going to punch him right in the face. You ever see that video?
Yeah, that's what he likes to do. He's very aggressive, and he's going to beat the shit out of you one day because you've challenged him on this podcast.
I have challenged him on this podcast.
What other points do you guys want to bring up about this story? Is there any other talking points you kind of want to get to before we run to verdicts?
I want to say just quickly, because I checked
about the
piss situation.
Oh, wow.
This is the research we need.
So apparently, they don't actually bring it back to Earth. They bring it back to the space station if they're out on walks or if they're doing lunar walks, because they recycle the pee into drinkable water because they can't take a lot of water to the space station.
Huh. What if they're on like the USA has had its space shuttle program for a long time. Like, did astronauts on the space shuttle, they were just drinking their own pee?
I think so. It says here that today's coffee is tomorrow's coffee is the slogan in the kitchen.
That's so funny.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
That's cool. I think I want to be an astronaut.
Yeah. Boy, I was really not looking forward to the physical rigors and the long, you know, time away from home. But if I could drink my piss every day, it's starting to sway me.
There really is something very fascinating about being,
drinking your own piss. I agree, Art.
Jesus Christ. Any other points you want to get to, boys, before we maybe jump to verdicts here on Alternative 3, where you can also expand some more? But
I have to say that I do think that it's interesting that Alternative 3, this whole idea of like a secret space program that's working to colonize another planet, this is one of the few where I've actually seen people who believe that that's happening. And they say things like, well, you know, there really is no evidence for it, but the clues are there.
Yeah.
And so we need more research will undoubtedly lead to this being true. I think it's interesting to me that this is just one of those times where like even people who believe it are kind of honest about like, well, yeah, there's really no evidence that actually proves that this is a thing, but we still believe it.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same as you. I think one thing that is kind of interesting about it is like there is a real worry that maybe we could wreck the Earth's climate, or we are wrecking the Earth's climate. So I like the story to it. Like it could be very real. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not completely out of the realms of like completely
possibility.
Ridiculous. Yeah. But it is one of those things that makes me think too, like who does it also serve? Like you were saying, because it's not fun for the elite. So is it just really, really rich people that are terrified about losing everything they have on this planet? So they just want to take it somewhere else.
Right.
Or is it more so kind of like like the film 2012 scenario where actually
it's on the horizon.
Everything is too late, but maybe we could spend the last little bit of the economy we have saving a few people.
Wow.
You know, this has all got me thinking like, Art, maybe I don't want to go to that colony on Mars.
Yeah. Why is that, Andy?
Because what if it's just like a big Amazon fulfillment center and all I want to do in space is drink my own piss, but they don't even let them go to the bathroom at Amazon. So how can I drink my own piss if I'm not allowed to go to the bathroom? It might turn out to be really bad.
Maybe that's Jeff's way of getting like his worker bees ready. Maybe he's like, we'll test it in Amazon now. And if people don't mind not going to the toilet, wait until they go to space and they have to drink their own piss. Like, which would you rather?
Would you rather never go to the bathroom again or drink your own piss the minute it comes out of your body?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Fascinating theory within a theory here, Andy, but I guess it is time for us to get to our verdicts here. And Jacob, obviously you are a well-versed OG bunk funker, so you kind of know how this goes, but you've got the bunker scale in front of you. And you know, we can kind of kick it off and then throw it to you, dealer's choice here. But we're going to give our verdicts based on the patented, scientifically accurate bunker scale of plausibility. And we're going to let the bunk funkers know what we think on Alternative 3. Andy, what do you think? You want to go first? Or
Yeah, I will go first.
Okay, then we can kick it back to you, Jacob, if you want. If you want some more time to ruminate.
That sounds good.
Kick it over to me.
So for me, I don't know. I kind of you know, it's like I do believe people saying that the original Alternative 3 Science Report episode was supposed to be a hoax. It was supposed to be an April Fool's prank. That almost in a serendipitous way led people to believe that there was some truth behind it, more truth than anybody probably involved in the production of it intended.
Yeah.
That said, there's not really a lot. I mean, it does strain credulity to believe that there could be this huge operation going on and nobody would notice anything. And there would be so many people involved and nobody said anything over the years. So I don't know. I don't necessarily like find the evidence of this large scale colonization secret space program to be super compelling. But on the other hand, do I think that the governments of the world are probably doing clandestine space-based operations? Sure. I think our government here in the USA does all kinds of clandestine stuff that they don't ever want us to know about and they never intend for us to know about until it's, you know, fully realized, probably already in action. And it's just, here's the fact now. You can't do anything about it because it's already happening.
Right.
So on that sense, I think there's some truth here, you know?
Okay.
Kernel of truth.
Kernel of truth.
The classic artism, kernel of truth.
Are we going to get red or green from Andy? I'm very curious to see. I don't know.
Oh, boy. I've been bouncing.
You're waffling. You know? You're flip-flopping.
But I think overall for like the concept of alternative three, I'm going to go plausible minus and a half.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why I'm there is because I really don't think that it's, you know, alternative three to me is really about this large scale colonization thing that's been happening in complete secrecy.
Yeah.
I'm just not so sold on that, but that said, I'm closer to green than not at all.
It could be closer, but okay.
But I'm saying not at all.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like somewhere near plausible.
I guess for you being plausible minus and a half.
This is pretty freaking close to the green for me. I think there probably are clandestine space operations going on. And who knows, maybe at some point we do find out like, oh, they actually do have some sort of operations on the lunar surface or something that nobody knew about. I don't know that it's going to be as complicated as a base or that there's
an underground manned
missions or that, you know, Ed Teller detonated a nuclear bomb under there.
Or at the very least, a big old stinky fart.
Yeah. Ed Teller went to the moon and took a big shit inside the center of it and it unlocked some things inside the moon. So I'm plausible minus and a half.
Fair enough, Andy. That's your verdict. Jacob, the floor is yours. You can throw it back to me or take it and give a slam dunk.
I'm going to say, in regards to Alternative 3, I would probably say I'm not fully buying it, and I would probably go with plausible minus minus.
Whoa! Just
because I'm on a similar wavelength with Andy that just like this big scale operation probably hasn't happened with all of the governments of the world working together, because it just seems as well like, in the reality that we live in, that just seems very, very difficult to do with everybody kind of hating each other. But part of me does think that this is happening somewhere, maybe with governments or like individual programs. And I'd probably say it was more so kind of like some like Interstellar or something like that, where maybe they might have sent something to a planet to check it out, but it maybe doesn't have humans on it, or it's a full blown colony. But I'd say plausible minus minus for alternative three. But saying that too, maybe that whole UFO phenomenon could be these alternative three ships coming back and forth too.
There you go. All right. Well,
that's a great verdict.
That's a great verdict, Jacob. And that just leaves little old me. I actually think I'm going to be the odd man out here. I'm going plausible plus plus.
Wow.
I am fully in the green on this one. I think that this plan probably exists in some capacity. Listen, I'm not going to shit on David Ambrose here. Okay. The guy who wrote the screenplay for Alternative 3.
Yeah.
the idea of like us fucking up the world and the global elites leaving is not fucking unique.
Wow, jeez.
I mean, jeez Louise, what a fucking hack. No, but it's not like this, like, oh, whoa, this is fucking far out there, dude. It's like, no, it's pretty, like, The Expanse has a storyline that's akin to that. Fucking BioShock has, it's like, you know, it's, that's, there's probably plenty of other media that I don't know about that, you know, delves into this kind of world. I mean, the idea of the quote unquote elites of society hoarding all the resources. This is very cyberpunk, very dystopian.
Yeah. Classic. Not anything at all like the world we live in today.
Yeah. Sure. But, you know.
So far from reality, it's hard to even imagine a world where a small number of people concentrate the vast majority of wealth in any given jurisdiction.
I kind of disagree. I think that a plan of this scale can be put into action, and it's just taking incremental steps to get there. I think that, you know, the U.S. Air Force has had plenty of experimental planes that nobody fucking knew about those planes until well into their existence.
Like dinosaur.
I have, you know, obviously there's so many fucking satellites up in space. What do we know what any of those, maybe one of those, a couple of those satellites are for clandestine alternative 3-esque research. Perhaps world governments kind of are working together on some of this stuff in more ways than we think. I you know, I think that the Blue Origins and the SpaceX's of the world are maybe leading. I mean, hell, fucking one of biggest Jeff Bezos's biggest contracts early on in Amazon's career was a huge contract with the CIA for Amazon Web Services. So it's like there's wheelings and dealings going on here, folks. So I'm going to go with that. This plan probably exists. And plus, you know what? Gary McKinnon, he found a fucking spreadsheet, and spreadsheets don't lie.
Wow. Yeah. I've never seen a lie in a spreadsheet before. And I pray to God I never will.
You know what? I'm going to give also an extra verdict here, and you guys can as well. I'm kind of plausible minus and a half on Gary McKinnon. I don't know much about him. If he did pull off that hack, that's a pretty fucking impressive hack to pull off. You know,
he's a bona fide hacker.
He's a fucking chugging iron brew. And having himself a hack. He's Scottish.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's my verdict. I don't know if you guys want to say anything on Gary McKinnon. I didn't mean to maybe bring that up.
I guess if I have to judge his, like, did he, like, his evidence for this cover up, it's pretty low.
Yeah.
But
didn't take any screen. This guy is a world-renowned hacker, and he didn't take any fucking screenshots or download anything or like package the data in a way that, I mean, maybe they didn't have this in the early 2000s, but, you know, hackers can easily, especially nowadays, you could package all the data from a hack or whatever, your files, and then upload them to like a kill server that, like, you know, basically is like if you, like a thing where it's like if you don't enter in the passcode every 30 days or something, it like pushes that out to like a bunch of different sources.
Yeah.
Something like that. So maybe they didn't have that back then, but I would think anybody with the skill to hack defense networks would also be able to know what they're doing. Like, wouldn't just be like, oh, sorry, I was drunk. It's like, dude, you know what you're doing. Like, this is a felony. This is, you are going to prison for the, you're going to fucking Guantanamo Bay, dude. Like,
yeah, he snuck into a government facility and started hacking computers.
And Edward Snowden linked a couple of things, and now he had to move to a whole different country and start a fucking new life.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be like plausible molecule on Gary McKinnon just because I think he was an actual hacker. Like, that's my understanding, is that he actually was a hacker. But as far as the connectivity to this case, it's like, I don't know that he actually did that stuff.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Well, those bunkfunkers are our verdicts on Alternative 3. Let us know what you think. Use the hashtag. Jacob, you got any good suggestions? Anything you can think of? Piss in space.
Piss in space could be good.
Piss in space.
Piss in space.
Piss in space. Let us know what you think. And Before you do that, though, please, please check out Jacob Carson and all of his different ventures. Jacob, please go ahead. The floor is yours. Plug away. Let us know what you have going on.
Yeah. So really appreciate you guys letting me come on your show. As I said at the beginning, long time listener, and it's awesome to finally speak with you guys. It was a bit weird at the start listening to the intro because I was like, oh shit, I'm coming in now. So that was fun.
You're not. But
thank you again for that. And I love everything you do. And I hope nothing but good things for you guys out of the future, because you deserve it with the amount of effort that you put into your episodes.
Such a sweet.
And if anybody enjoyed some of the stuff that I had to say, if you're into like high strangeness and UFO stuff, head over and check Stranger Times out, which is at Strange Times on Twitter and at Stranger Times on Instagram. They wouldn't let me have the R on Twitter. And then if you're into science and technology and AI and all that kind of fun stuff, go and check out The Infinite Void, which is at Infinite Void Pod on Twitter and Instagram, where we try and do either every other week, or I'll drop loads of content at once and then go quiet for a couple of weeks. But yeah, thank you.
And all of that is available also on YouTube. They have a great YouTube channel where you can see Jacob and Maddie discussing Infinite Void topics. And you know what? YouTube is very difficult to link to. They don't make that very easy. So you could just, you know, probably just YouTube search Infinite Void Podcast.
And yeah. And Jacob, you have a link tree.
That's true.
That's linked on your Twitter handle.
That's right.
That makes it super easy to get to these things. What's your like personal Twitter handle?
That is a very good point. It is at Jacob E. Carson. So
there you go.
Jacob is also a very gifted and great designer. So if you also just love good web design and good graphic design in general, you're going to enjoy the different things that Jacob has to post. So please go check out Jacob Carson and all of his different ventures. And then after you do that, maybe if you still have time, you don't have to, you can check out, you know, MrBunkersConspiracyTime.com. Email us, MrBunkerPod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at MrBunkerPod. And if you feel so inclined, you have the means to do so, you can join the Patreon, patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. Now, two extra episodes every single month of our Patreon only show, Andy and Art Debunked. You're getting two extra episodes every single month.
Well, one episode of Debunked and then another extra content.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
there's more content. You're getting
extra episodes every single month.
Yeah.
You know, and we're making it fun on there. You get access to the Bunker Discord where you can chat with Andy and I and Jacob. Jacob's on there as well.
Yeah.
You can, what else? You get the Bunker newsletter and there's a bunch of other bullshit as well. So check that out.
Free pictures of me and Art sent to your phones, whether you ask for them or not.
Jacob, thank you so, so much for joining us today. Do you have any last words before we blast you off into fucking space?
No, it's been my pleasure, and hopefully we can do some more collaboration in the future.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
This is not the last that you've heard of the wonderful Jacob Carson.
And Jacob, thanks, if it's not the last you've heard of us, you're going to have to block us on all forms of communication to get rid of us.
Oh, actually, yeah. One quick thing. Oh. Mr. Bunker is going to be, you both are going to be on my show as well. So keep an eye out for that. Anybody
that's right. We gave the kids the sitter, and Andy and I, the two daddies, are going to be joining the Stranger Times pod. And we had a very, very fruitful and fun discussion.
Yeah, so everybody head over there and check that out at some point. But again, definitely, just thank you for having me on. It's been awesome.
Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you, Jacob. And no thank you to Mr. Bunker, but
fuck you, Mr. Bunker.
Yeah, that's right. And for my salty grade, co-host, Andy Hart, I'm Art Stone saying that was the whole enchilada.
10, 9, 8, 7. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yummy.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.